Revelation chapter 3, verses 7 through 13, page 1333. And may we please stand for the reading of God's Word. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, These things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth, and no man shutteth, and shutteth, and no man openeth. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews, and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out. And I will write upon him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. And let's finish together, please. He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. And let's pray. Our Lord, we thank thee so for our church. These evening services have, through the years, been so very special. It's like family. Thank you for this gathering of friends, dear ones. Thank you for those who among us are visitors. We pray that thou wouldst bless us all together in the way that thou wouldst choose to do. Through the preaching of thy word, anoint our preacher and our ears for the hearing. In Jesus' name, amen.
I want to speak tonight on the subject, are you a part of God or is God a part of you? And I'm going to use the text, Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more, and I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. I'm lifting out that one little phrase, Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God. I could call this message a pillar in the temple of God, but I want to use the title, Are You a Part of God, or Is God a Part of You? I think tonight, the two groups of people that will be described in this message, I think you'll see an awful lot of the America of the past and the America of the present. I want you to follow me. Father, bless, I pray, our discussion tonight, and do thou do for us, to us, with us, through us, what thou had in mind when you inspired me to bring this message. Please. Amen. For several months, I've been wanting to preach on this passage of Scripture, and every week I've been tempted to. God held it up for some reason. I do not know why. But now is the time for me to preach it. I do not know why. I just know the time has come. I was in a certain city preaching. An assistant pastor of the church where I was preaching asked if he could talk to me. And I gave him an appointment, and he was a very gracious man and a good man. He said, Dr. Hiles, my pastor is a great man. And I am so privileged to work for him. And I'm here, and I thank God that I'm here, because I want to learn all I can from my pastor. I do not know of a man in America that can be of greater, could be of greater help to my ministry than my pastor. Now, I want to say this. I do not think that that man was wrong in what he said. Nor do I think he was wrong in his reason for being the church. But now, wait a minute. The next month, I was at another church. The assistant pastor of that church came and said, "Brother Hiles, could I have a conference with you while you're here?" I said, "Sure." He said, "Dr. Hiles, my pastor is a great man. I am so privileged to work for him. I want to be a part of his ministry as long as he lives. And I want to be what he needs me to be. Dr. Hiles, would you help me know what I can do most to be to my pastor what he needs me to be?" Now, you see the difference in those two men? One was coming to get what he could. And nothing wrong with it. Nothing wrong at all. But he was coming to get what he could to take it from the pastor to use it somewhere else. The other was coming to give what he could to the ministry of his preacher. Neither is wrong, but one is more right. Years ago, I was preaching at the Highland Park Baptist Church in Chattanooga, Tennessee. It's been 30 years ago, just about. In fact, it may be 30 years ago this summer. I was preaching at the Highland Park Baptist Church. Two associate pastors, or assistant pastors, came and talked to me while I was there. One of them said, "Dr. Robertson's the greatest man I know." And brother, he's mighty close to being right. He said, "Dr. Robertson's the greatest man I know." Of course, Dr. Robertson was pastor there then. And he said, "I'm so fortunate to be with him for a while because I want to learn everything I can from Dr. Robertson while I'm here." Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with it. But the other assistant pastor came and talked to me, and he said, "Dr. Hiles, Dr. Robertson's a great man." Same thing the first fellow said. He said, "I want to give my life to him, to do all I can for him, and be a part of his great ministry." I do not know where the first man is. Second man's name was J.R. Faulkner. Everybody knows J.R. Faulkner. Now, nothing wrong with what the first fellow said. Nothing wrong at all. It's a matter of degrees of right. The first fella wanted to come into Dr. Robertson's presence to get what he could to take out. Second fella wanted to come into Dr. Robertson's presence to give what he could to put in. You see the difference? Now, fellow number two was a pillar. That's what Scripture means. A pillar. A pillar is on the inside of the building, helping to hold it up. Pillars are part of it. Jesus is saying here, "Him that overcometh, I'll make him a pillar." Fellow number one, he's the assistant pastor. I mentioned my travels recently. He was a good man. Nothing wrong with him. But he was not interested in giving himself to uphold as a pillar inside. He was interested in coming inside and getting all the help he could. Now, by the way, when he went out, I think he was going to try to do good. I have no feeling at all that what he did was sinful. But he wasn't a pillar in the work. Now, the second fella was a pillar. The two fellows in Highland Park Baptist Church in Chattanooga, Tennessee, 30 years ago. One stayed a couple of years and got he thought all he needed. I mean, think, work for Lee Robertson 2 years and get all you need. I mean, boy, Lee Robertson's like a diamond, brother. You look at it every time you see it. It has a new glow and something else to learn. And Lee Robertson's learning more new things faster than you can learn from him the old things. And but anyway, this fella, I don't know where he is. And I doubt Dr. Jorgensen, you'd even know his name. I'm not sure I know his name. I think I do, but nobody knows his name. You know why? Not because he did sinfully. He didn't. He just didn't use good judgment. Now, you see, one comes for what he can get and carries it off to use it for his own ends. The other wants what the leader wants. He actually lives in the leader until he cannot be separated from the work. His life is to hold up the work, and that's what a pillar does. And that's why God said, him that overcometh, I'll put him in the work, and I'll make him a supporter of the work. I'll put him on the inside to hold the work high. Illustration. Two men love their country. Now follow me. Two men love their country. Man number one joins the army. He joins the army because he wants to get an education. Nothing wrong with that. To join the army, you make him get some education that'll help you when you get out. So he joins the army. I want to be a pilot when I get out. So I'll join the Air Force and learn how to fly. When I get out, I can be a pilot. Nothing wrong with that. Not criticizing that at all. One fellow joins the army and says, I'd like to be an engineer on the computer business. If I go in the army, I can learn the computer business or learn engineering. So when I get out, I'll have a trade. Nothing wrong with that. The army makes it a part of it. Nothing wrong with that at all. Another fellow joins the army. He says, my country's in trouble. My country needs me. It was the late President Kennedy who said, ask not what my country can do for me, but rather, what can I do for my country? That's what the scripture is here. A pillar. So one fellow says, I'm going in the army and serve, and I'll serve. I'll be faithful. I'll work hard. I'll train hard. If there's a national emergency, I'll fight for my country. But the basic reason I'm going in is to get something to take out. The other fellow says, I'm going in. My country needs soldiers. My country needs protection. My country needs somebody in case of attack, and I want to defend my country. And I'm not going in to get what I can to take out. I'm going in to give to my country. That fellow becomes a pillar. That fellow's on the inside. He's going to support the inside. He's not going to get it and leave. Now, nothing wrong with that. Listen, some of you folks learn your profession in the service. I have no quarrel with you at all. I have no bones to pick with you at all. Nothing wrong with that. But let me tell you, the fellow who goes in and says, this is my country. I want to say this while I'm on this. He doesn't choose what war he fights. He doesn't say, I'll decide whether the war is right or wrong. This fellow says, my country, right or wrong. Boy, we need that in America tonight. Pillars. This is my nation. I love it. My country, right or wrong. It's my country. Somebody jumps on my country, I'm fighting for my country. Somebody, my country jumps on somebody else, I'm fighting for my country. If there's a war in Grenada, I'm fighting for my country. If there's a war in Afghanistan, I'm fighting for my country. I'm an American, and I'm not going to run off to Canada because I'm chicken-livered and won't fight, and yellow-bellied and won't fight. I'm not going to do it. It's my country. That's what you call a pillar. Far too many people in this nation trying to get out of America what they can get out of her. Everybody will thank God for America's freedom. Some folks thank God for it so they'll get out of it, and some folks thank God for it enough to say, I'm going to see to it that we always have freedom. One's a pillar. One uses his country. The other wants his country to use him. One takes out what he can for his life. The other gives his life and puts it into his country.
Jesus said there's some people that come to me for what they can get out of me. Nothing wrong with that. He tells you, you come to him, he'll give you peace. Him that comes to me, I'll nowise cast out. Come to me, all ye that labor heavy laden, I'll give you rest. My peace give I unto thee. Nothing wrong with that. He does give you peace. He does give you joy. He does give you satisfaction. But there is a place where a child of God can come to where he does not come primarily to get from God, then run out and use it for his own business, and run out and use it for his own home, run out and use it for his own self. There is a place where what God gets from you is more important than what you get from God. You come to the place in your life where you're more concerned about God getting out of you what he needs rather than you getting out of God what he needs. God says, you're a pillar in my temple. You now are a supporter. You hold it up. You're in there to stay. Illustration. Two men go to church. One goes in and out, and they're good people tonight here in this room. I want you to keep coming. I don't want to chase you out. I want you to keep coming. Thank God for you. But there's some mighty good people tonight here in this room. You're here to get what you can get. And go out and use it. You want to get some help, strength to go out and use it for your own self. You want to get some wisdom to go out and use it in your business. Nothing wrong with that at all. I'm not condemning that. But if you could find another where you can get something newer, or some new fella comes to town, preaches his 50 new sermons, and you may hobnob over there. Something new. You may go there. On the other hand, there's another fellow here tonight. He's a part of the structure of this church. He's a pillar. This is his church. Always will be. This is his church. This is his preacher. He's not thinking about anything else. He's part of the structure. He doesn't come to church just for what he can get out of it. He comes to church also for what he can put into it. He says, this is my church. Thank God I get fed when I come, and thank God I get strength when I come. Thank God I get Bible truths when I come. Thank God I get inspired when I come. But that's not the main reason he comes. The main reason he comes was he's supposed to come. It's Sunday morning. It's Sunday night. It's Wednesday night. He comes. He's a pillar. He'll never go out. He's helping to hold it up. Now one uses the church as a tool. The other is a tool for the church. Nothing wrong with either one. You come here and you just come to get, because if all you do is to come and hear me preach because you like to hear me scream and holler, you like to see somebody gets excited, that's good. Nothing wrong with that. Not against it at all. Or if you come and just get what you can get and take out and use it, nothing wrong with that. You need to get strength while you're here. You need to get Bible truth while you're here. You need to learn great truths of life while you're here. But thank God there's a Mrs. Eileen Hall back there. Thank God there's a Dorothy Sutkowski back there. I mean, this is their church. They get the same strength you get. But they don't just come to get, they come to give. They're supporters. They're holding up the structure. They get the same teaching you get, Bible teaching you get, and they need it, and they go out and use it, but that's not the only reason they come. They come to hold up the structure. They're supporters. Jesus said, that's the kind I'll make pillars in my temple. They don't go in and out. They're pillars in my temple. This is my church. You're my people. This is my pulpit. I have no desire to preach behind any other pulpit anywhere in the world as long as I live. And the honest truth is, people often ask me, Brother House, where'd you rather preach than anywhere in the world? Right here. Right here. I can go to places on Monday and Tuesday night to preach, and I can preach the best sermon I got. And I can come up here and take a brand new one and enjoy preaching a brand new one here more than I can a sermon I've almost got memorized. Why? This is my pulpit. This is my church. This is my microphone. Those are my chandeliers. Those are my light fixtures. That's my carpet. These are my pews. This is my home. And I never, no, this is it. This is it. Now I come to get something at church. And I do. I come to say howdy to people whose paths I cross on Sunday. I come to enjoy the choir and I get something out of it. I come to enjoy these beautiful musical numbers. I get something out of it. I come to get fellowship. I get something out of it. But I come to to give. I come not in and out to get what I can get and take it out yonder and use it. No, sir. I come as a part of it, as a part of its structure. I'm a pillar. I want to hold it up. I'm not criticizing those that come in and out. I'm just saying that there are some, thank God, this is it. Preacher preached a bad sermon. Okay, everybody has an off day. Mickey Mantle struck out more than anybody in the big leagues did, but he hit more home runs during his day. Okay, that's my preacher. This is my building. This is my church. That's my choir. That's my substitute choir director. That's my Lord's Supper table. This is my church. I'm not going to divorce it. My church. I'm a pillar here. I don't just come to get. By the way, if you come someday and don't get what you need, well, if you come to get and to give, then you can always at least do half what you came for. If you come just to get, you're a total flop if you don't get. You come to get and to give, you always come out halfway. So I'm saying that what God is saying here, in any institution of our lives or in any endeavor of our lives, God wants us to do more than come to get and take out. God wants us to stay in and be a supporter and hold up the place and be a pillar in the temple of God. 1956, Dr. Billy Graham was on the board of the Sword of the Lord. He said he no longer could sign the statement of faith. The Sword of the Lord board members have to sign every year. And he could not sign the statement of faith. There was a vacancy on the board of the Sword of the Lord. Dr. John Rice contacted me, just a 30-year-old young man, and asked if I'd be on the board of the Sword of the Lord. Now, when I took that responsibility, I became a member of the Sword of the Lord family. I didn't take it because I wanted to be able to say I'm on the board of the Sword of the Lord. I didn't take it just to be able to have some prestige and have my name listed there on the board of the Sword of the Lord. At that time, I was on the cooperating board. Now I'm on the governing board. Just a few of us on that. And, I mean, we're the ones that govern the affairs of the Sword of the Lord. And the voting board. Wait a minute now. I didn't get on the board of the Sword of the Lord so I could have my name in the Sword of the Lord as being on the governing board. I didn't get on the board of the Sword of the Lord because I want to be able to say I'm on the board of Dr. John Rice's paper. I got on the board of the Sword of the Lord to support it. And support it I've done for 30 years. And support it I will for 30 more years. I'm on the board. When Dr. John Rice passed off the scene, Dr. Curtis Hudson came on the scene. I happen to believe in Curtis Hudson, so I'm on the board. He's not perfect, I'm on the board. He makes a blunder, I'm on the board. I love the Sword of the Lord. It's all settled. Two and two's four. Sunrise east sets in the west. And I'm on the board of the Sword of the Lord. And I'm cooperative. And I'm for the Sword of the Lord. I'm on the board at Bill Rice Ranch. Dr. Bill Rice, my good friend, was alive. He asked me if I'd be on the board. Bill Rice Ranch. They have a hotel down there. A motel. Howells Hall. Dedicated to Mrs. Howells and me. Down at the Sword of the Lord place. Dr. Bill Rice died. I'm on the board of the Bill Rice Ranch. Dr. Bill III came on. I'm for the Bill Rice Ranch. I was then. I am now. Why? I want to be a pillar. I don't want to come in until Dr. John dies and then I pass off the scene. And the Sword of the Lord, he passed off the scene. And I say, fool you on the Sword of the Lord. The famous fellow's gone now. Got a new young fellow there. I don't believe. Listen. Brother, when I get into something, I get in it to support it. If it goes under, I go under with it. A pillar. What are you? What are you? Huh? You're part of something till you find something that's more appealing for a while? Huh? You students at Howells Anderson College, what are you? Pillar? Huh? Or come and get this, and you can find for me a place else to go get a look. What are you, a pillar? Huh? Members of First Baptist Church, are you a pillar? You're not going to like yourself if you live your whole life just going to get something, taking off and running with it. Let me tell you something. I've got a reason to say this, except I can't think of anything else to say, and I got a few minutes to fill up here. When you trotted yourself to Howells Anderson College and enrolled, you became a member of Howells Anderson College family. And I believe you're obligated to that college as much as that college is obligated to you. Well, you say, I paid my tuition. I got what I'm supposed to get. I got all I need. I paid for it. Listen, if you're that kind of person, you're never going to be solid and stable anywhere. I mean, brother, I got a letter the other day from Bob Jones University. A little lady wrote me a letter, and she said, "Dear Brother Howells, there are four others, there are five of us want to come to Howells Anderson College. Would you send us catalogs?" I wrote back and said, "No, I will not. No, I will not. My ethics do not allow me to send catalogs to another fundamental college. I won't do it. If I've got to build a college on Bob Jones University transfers, I'll just go out of the college business. I will. I believe you ought to start what you finish and start, finish what you start and finish where you start." Yeah. Why? A pillar. Look, you guys just getting married. Every time you see some pretty little gal, you can't wink at her and run off with her and leave the one you got. You may wish you'd seen her before, but you didn't. I mean, you only shopped in a few places before you bought, but you bought. I believe in loyalty. I believe in loyalties. God comes along and he says, "I want to ask you a question. Are you a pillar?" Ross Heyman back here is a graduate of Howells Anderson College. I think he owes something to this institution. I think it's $613. I'm not sure. But, yeah. Now for him to come to Howells Anderson College and then leave, and never supported again, I think he's not a pillar. Now, nothing wrong with that. I'm not saying he's a sinner if he doesn't. He's a sinner, but the other things he does. But I'm not saying he's a sinner if he doesn't. I'm simply saying that there was a day when there was an America when the people who joined something, and people had some loyalties, and this is it, and this is mine, and I'm not going to just take what I can get for myself and then hightail it off somewhere else to get what I can get there for myself. This is not a cafeteria. I get it, eat it, and leave. I'm a pillar here. I belong to this thing here. Boy, that's good. Two men, follow me carefully. Two men seek the truth. Or they seek truth. They're scholars or students. Scratch the word scholar. Students. I want to be included. One seeks truth, and God knows I seek truth. But one seeks truth in order to help himself. Another seeks truth in order to help truth. One seeks truth in order to spread himself. The other seeks truth in order to spread the truth. Now follow me carefully. If a fellow seeks truth for what it'll do to him, then when it no longer does that to him that he sought, he'll leave that truth and go to another truth. I want to give you an example. Let's take soul winning. There are men across America who decided they wanted to go build soul winning churches because they saw First Baptist Church growing that way. So they came to pastor school, and they heard me preach somewhere, and they said, "I want to have a soul winning church. I believe that's the way to grow a church." Now, let me say this. I'm not for soul winning because I believe that's the way to grow a church. I'm for soul winning because my master told me to go soul winning. And if this church goes under with soul winning, it'll still be a soul winning church as long as I'm here. So what happened? These fellows that came to truth, not to be a pillar of truth, but to use truth. Not to use themselves for truth, but use truth for themselves. You follow me? Then they go out of here, and they go soul winning for a while. As long as it's new and exciting, their churches grow. But all of a sudden, they reach a little plateau, and they say, "Better use something else besides soul winning now." And they'll flee the truth to find anything else that'll help them. But there are people, thank God, who believe in soul winning because Jesus said, "Do it, and do it we will." And do it we will if the church grows with it. And do it we will if the church dies with it. We do it. Why? Because we're dedicated to truth. I want to be a pillar to hold up the truth. Not to use the truth to build my work. I want to use my work to spread the truth. Illustration. Back yonder, 40 years ago when I started preaching, 39 of those I've been pastoring. Back yonder when it was a sin to drink. Back yonder when ladies wore skirts. I think they still do. But back yonder, ladies wore skirts. And back yonder when smoking was considered wrong by everybody, and dancing was considered wrong, and back yonder when Hollywood movies were considered wrong. Boy, there are a lot of preachers that built great churches fighting those things because people in general like to hear that kind of preacher. And boy, they'd stand up and say, I'll tell you, I'm going to take my stand. Fine. They copied some of us that took our stand because we believed in the stand. I don't preach hard to get a crowd. I preach hard because I'm supposed to preach hard. Now then, ladies wearing pants is accepted. And now then, many of our charismatic friends not only go to movies, but even let the movie stars testify in their great meetings on the television programs. It'd be a cold day where the little man lives for. Movie star testifies here. But I'm simply saying, what's happened? Now then, there was a day when old-fashioned hellfire and damnation, this is right, this is wrong, preaching, drew crowds. But now if that ever, when that quits drawing crowds, our fellows jump off of the separation and off of the standards. Only difference in you preachers and me, some of you, is that I'm preaching what you preached 25 years ago. I just haven't jumped off the truth because it got unpopular. I want to be a pillar! Inside. I don't want to use truth to build my work. I'm not going to, listen, if I use soul winning to build my work, then I'll change if my work quits building. Brother, if the day comes when the choir could hold the entire crowd up here, I'll just turn around the choir and preach soul winning and separation. Because my allegiance is not given tonight to building a church. My allegiance is given to truth. And I want to be a supporter of truth. I don't want to use truth. I want to spread truth. I want truth to use me. I want to give myself to promote truth, not give a truth to promote me. Two men tithe. One's been watching every night. Some of these other financial wizards. The way you get rich is you plan it. That's true. But you got it. But put your hand on your television set right now. Put it on there. With your other hand, write me a check. If you can't do both, forget putting your hand on the television set. This is the way God gives you. Yeah, this is where you get rich. The way I got rich. In fact, you tithe. Oh, I'm going to tithe. I heard people say, well, you can, the 90% will just go farther than the 100%. I never did for us. I don't mean to ruin your whole testimony, but it just never did for us. And I'll be quite frank with you, I'm not sure 90% ever goes farther than 100%. But you see, let's suppose all of a sudden you little 190 percenters, let's suppose that all of a sudden the 90% doesn't go as far as 100%. And let's suppose the 90% goes as far as 50%. You're going to quit tithing. Why? Because you're using the truth to promote your income. Now, I'm not against that. Good night if you'll give it. I don't care why you give it. Somebody said, God loves a cheerful giver. Yeah, but I love any old grouse that'll put it in the offering plate. Just try it. I think I'll pay you a dance whether you smile or frown. Now, God loves a smiler while he gives, but God likes a grouchy while he gives too. Because God likes honest people. But now, wait a minute. You know why I tithe? Because it's a Bible truth. And if God keeps me sane, I'll tithe if it makes me go broke. Somebody said, you take your stand for God and it'll all come out in the end for your good. Somebody tell John the Baptist about that. Walk up to him, look him square in the eye as his head's rolling around that platter. John, old boy, you'll see the day, brother, in this life. You'll get... Yeah, it just doesn't always work out that way. And that's why, ladies and gentlemen, we ought not to, and brothers, pastor of this church, I haven't given you a bunch of truths to use. I've given you a bunch of truths that I want you to promote. This morning, I didn't tell you how to get rich, I told you how to get poor and like it. That's what I told you. I didn't say you abide in Christ, let His Word abide in you. He'll fill your coffers. No, he may cause it where you want to need a coffer. Now, the truth is, ladies and gentlemen, you got to decide whether you're going to be a pillar or not. You got to come inside the temple, get what you can, go out, come in, get what you can, go out, use it, go back, get some more. I'm not against that. I am not against that. But blessed be God, I'd like to tell you, there's something far greater than that. And that is say, I'm not just going to come to get what I can to use for myself. I'm going to come in every institution, in every obligation in my life. I'm going to come not only to get, but to give. And I'm going to support it. Hold it up. That makes you a pillar in the temple of God. To Christians, the statement I'm going to make right now is worth you coming for. One Christian says, I've got to get to Christ in order to get away from sin. Another Christian says, I've got to get away from sin in order to get to Christ. You hear me? One says, I've got to get to Christ. That's the way I conquer sin. What's he trying to do? He's trying to conquer sin. Nothing wrong with that. I can tell you something better. I've got to conquer sin so I can get to Christ. The whole issue is I've got to get to Him. I've got to get to Him. I've got to get to Him. I've got to find out what He means. One comes in and out to get help from God, and the other lives in Christ in order to help. One says, Dear Lord, I need. The other says, Dear Lord, what do you need? They're quarries tonight where these pillars are being hewn. Some of you are not pillars tonight. But you will be, and even now, you're being hewn. A pillar in preparation. Some of these quarries are in darkness of crushed despair. Some of these quarries are in the furnace of fiery trials. And others are in the hospital hallways. And others on the pavement of broken dreams. These pillars are being hewn. This morning, after the service, family came by. Lovely family. Son about 14, 15 years of age, I guess. This Friday has heart surgery. Somehow, older people having heart surgery doesn't seem unusual, but a 14-year-old lad, I'm not sure I think he's about 14. Sonny, you nervous? Yes, a little bit. I said, look, while they're having heart surgery, why don't they just have, why don't you have them have brain surgery too and put a brain in there? You can do both at one time. And of course, the family was sweet. We laughed and chuckled. But Friday, they'll walk the floor of the hospital. What's God doing? He's hewing in his quarry of trials some pillars. Oh, by the way, that's this Friday. Then next week, one of the cutest little girls you ever saw that walks on crutches and she couldn't be over 5 or 6 years of age. That's next week she has surgery for little crippled legs. Did you hear what I'm trying to say? What's God doing? God's hewing some pillars. Chopping away. Hewing some pillars. The difference is this. What can I get out of him? And that's not bad. When you get to the place in your Christian life to where you say it's not just what can I get out of him, though that's true. He wants you. Listen, he wants you to get things out of him. But he wants something from you too. And you get to the place to where you say, dear Jesus, my primary concern is not what do I get out of you, but what can you get out of me? Then you cease to be just a Christian. You then become a pillar in his temple, helping from the inside to hold up the work. I don't belong to much tonight. I'll close with this. I don't belong to much tonight. I don't belong to many things. I belong to my country. And brother, I've given much of my life for the last 25 years to being a pillar in my country. I really have. Nobody knows. Nobody really understands what my country, what part my country has had in my life in ministry for the last 25 years. I want to be a pillar. I don't want to just say, thank God for old glory and thank God for what I enjoy beneath the flag of old glory. And not me, Buster. I want to be a pillar to hold up the freedom of our country and to support it. My country, right or wrong. I belong to First Baptist Church of Hammond. It's my church. You're my people. Not looking for anything else. You'd be amazed if you knew what offers I've had in the last 10 or 15 years. Different type of offers. I'm not looking for anything else. My church. I want to be a pillar. I don't want to just come for what I can get. I want to come to hold it up. Be a support. Hold it up. I belong to the House Anderson College family. And I'm not just one of the people that brag on it when everything looks good and when there's a mistake, criticize it. Not me, Buster. Not me. I believe in the place. I believe it's imperfect, but I believe in the place. And I want to be a pillar. And while you're young, decide that anything to which you belong, you'll be a pillar. Mentioned a while ago about the letter I got from Bob Jones, some students at Bob Jones University, and I'm sure they got some of our students too. But I don't know their ethics. It doesn't bother me. I'm interested in their ethics. I'm interested in my ethics. People come to visit our church here from other fundamental churches in the area. They get no visit from us. I don't go see them. I don't send anybody else to see it. Members of the fundamental churches come to visit us. If they check that little part down at the bottom of the cards, is interested in joining this church, they'll get no visit from me. And I'll not send anybody else to visit them. I'm not interested in building this church on other people's members. Now, folks come to join our church and ask membership. Naturally, we're not going to say, you can't come in. Not going to do that. But we're not going to pursue them. Whatever God sends us, we'll take it. But we're not going to help him. Too many sinners here to win for us to be trying to proselyte. Lady came to my office. It's happened several times. I think one lady right now. Knocked on my door, stayed in line one Sunday morning after the service. Brother Howells, need to see you. I said, you remember here? She said, no, I go to Dr. Bill Schroeder's church over here in Oak Forest. I need some counseling from you. I said, I'm sorry, ma'am, I can't talk to you. She said, well, why? I said, because Dr. Bill Schroeder's your pastor. Now, you get me a signed letter written, signed in his own handwriting, giving me permission to talk to you, and I'll do it. But until you bring that letter, I'll not talk to you. She went back and told him the situation. He wrote me a letter. Said, of course, Dr. Howells, I don't mind you talking to her. And I did. Well, remember, a precious couple grew up in this church, moved out in the south part of the county, joined a church 15 miles, I guess, from here. And the next week called me on the phone. Said, Brother Howells, we need some counsel. And I said, I'm sorry, I can't do it.
Oh, Brother Howells, why? Don't you love us?
Yes, I love you. But I'm not going to steal. I can't do it. You say, why? Because I believe in ethics. And I believe you'll eventually reap what you sow. I believe God has a way of blessing people who are not interested in promoting themselves. We're interested in promoting truth. Those who say, I want to be a pillar. And the things to which I belong and the things to which I adhere and the God to whom I serve, I will not just use him or them to say, what can I get? But I will say to them and to him, what do you need? It'll be a long time before you'll ever hear a sermon that America needs any more than you just heard. You'll hear better sermons. It'll be a long time before you'll ever hear one that could change your life any more than this message, this truth could change your life. Hundreds of us tonight ought to say, I'm going to be a pillar. Pillar. Nothing wrong with the assistant pastor that said, I want to come and get all I can out of Dr. Robertson so I can go out and use it. Nothing wrong with that. I'm not criticizing him at all, except I don't know where he is now. I'm just saying three cheers for J.R. Faulkner, who said 30 years ago, when he hadn't been there too long, he said, I'm giving my life, Dr. Robertson. I wonder if he's sorry now. Huh? No, he's not. You know why? You know he got things out of Dr. Robertson's ministry, and there's nothing wrong with that. And you know he took things from fellowshipping and rubbing shoulders with Dr. Lee Robertson for years. You know that! And nothing wrong with it. But also, he walked inside the ministry there, and he said, I'm going to hold it up. And I'm going to take all I can get, but that's not my main purpose. My main purpose is to give all I can give, because I want to be pillar in the temple